Thank you, Donnie. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I want to start this morning in the 14th chapter of John. I'm going to use the 8th and the 9th verse. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? How do you know who Christ is? I ask that question because Philip had an understanding of who God was, and yet he didn't really know him. Is he a God that grants you all your desires? Is he a God that never hears you? I have to admit, kind of a mixture. You know, I couldn't understand sometimes why God would show me things. I wish some of you had been here for this morning's Sunday school class. He would show me things, and yet I was powerless to change anything about others or myself's situations. Illnesses. And I find that I have had a distorted look of who God was. I believe that if I had enough faith, I could do anything. I could move mountains. You know, that's missing one major element. If it wasn't God's desire, it didn't happen anyway. I thought that if I was humble enough, more righteous, and had exceeding great faith, I could heal the sick, raise the dead, and I find that I was kind of arrogant. Couldn't do that. I, like Philip, didn't really understand who God was. And I'll explain why. I'd like you to go to the Book of Mormon, page 577, which is the Book of Helaman, the third chapter. I want to start in the 109th verse. And this is, I'm going to give you a little bit of prior knowledge here. This was after the chief judge had been killed. And Nephi had told him who it was, the things that he was going to say. All of those things he had foretold to them. And you know, and they didn't really understand who God was either. Nephi knew. So I'm going to start in the 109th. And there were some of the Nephites who believed on the words of Nephi. And there were some also who believed because of the testimony of the five. For they had been converted while they were in prison. And now there were some among the people who said that Nephi was a prophet. And there were others who said, Behold, he is a god. For except he was a god, he could not know all things. For behold, he has told us the thoughts of our hearts, and also has told us things, and even he has brought unto our knowledge the true murderer of our chief judge. And it came to pass that there arose a division among the people, insomuch that they divided hither and thither, and went their ways, leaving Nephi alone, as he was standing in the midst of them. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We have contention also. And it came to pass that Nephi went his way towards his own house, pondering upon the things which the Lord had shown unto him. And it came to pass, as he was thus pondering, being much cast down because of the wickedness of the people of the Nephites, their secret works of darkness, their murderings and their plunderings, and all manner of iniquity. And it came to pass, as he was thus pondering in his heart, behold, a voice came unto him, saying, Blessed art thou, Nephi, for those things which thou hast done, for I have beheld how thou hast with unwearingness declared the word which I have given unto thee, unto this people. And thou hast not feared them, and hast not sought thine own life, but have sought my will, and to keep my commandments. And now because thou hast done with such unwearingness, behold, I will bless thee forever, and I will make thee mighty in word and in deed, in faith and in works, yea, even that all things shall be done unto thee according to thy word. For thou shalt not ask that which is contrary to my will. Behold, thou art Nephi, and I am God. Behold, I declare it unto thee in the presence of mine angels, that ye shall have power over this people, and shall smite the earth with famine and with pestilence and destruction according to the wickedness of this people. He'd been given the information by the Spirit. And so these people were converted, and yet they were fighting amongst themselves. But he was given a gift from God. An extraordinary gift. Of enormous proportion. You know, I look back on my life and I see where, had it been my will fulfilled that I prayed for, would have been disastrous. Would have been disastrous. Because it wouldn't have accomplished God's purpose. Was it lack of faith on me? No. It was because I wasn't in tune with the Spirit enough to understand what God had planned. You see, Nephi understood that. Even the people that witnessed the miracles, and they were part of that, they didn't know who God was. And I have to admit, to some extent, neither did I. And I've asked people, if you were given the power of God, how would you handle that? Because this gift here that he's getting is the power of God. Your loved ones would never see death. You might never see death. You see, it's not in our will, or it's not in our interest for that to happen. There are very few that are given this gift. You see, I don't think we'd use it wisely. The more important question is, give me that understanding of who my God is. That Spirit is poured out upon you, that you know what you're supposed to do and not what you're not supposed to do. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul. And the things that he suffered. Do you think he had access to that power of God? I believe he did. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. The 11th chapter. Verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more in labor, more abundant in stripes, more measure in prison, more frequent in deaths, oft. Of the Jews 5 times receive I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst and fasting oft, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. Think that was just a few things that happened to him? Wouldn't you change that if you could? You know, and I see these things and I often wonder, you know, would I be able to stand that kind of trial? Would you be able to stand that kind of trial? You know, sometimes think that God wasn't looking out for you. And luckily, most of us don't have to go through those things. You know, let's go to the 27th chapter of the same Acts. Right here. The 9th through the 11th verse here. Now when much time was spent, and this is before this shipwreck that Paul went on. Now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion on believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. He told him that this isn't going to be good for us, guys. We're going to Rome, but this isn't going to be good for us. And so away they went, right? And you all know the story, right? And Paul knew what the will of God was. Now, obviously, he knew something that they didn't. Now, if that was the end of it, that would be one thing. But we know, and I ask you, how long was that storm for? It was for 14 days. Let's read about it. I'm going to start in the 13th verse. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against him. It was a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Actually, in my dictionary, it says that that was the southern wind, but it says that a great storm, but it says that it could have been a northern one. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, he let her drive, and the running under a certain island, which is called Claudia. We had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. They knew they were in trouble. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, I told you so, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. It's quite a promise. That's quite a promise. And yet, God could have changed that quite easily. The storm didn't have to be 2 weeks long. But he softened them up a little bit. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest they should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under colors, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boats and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not be a hair fall from your head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 200, 60, which is 60, and 16, which is 76 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek which, with a shore into which they were minded if it were possible to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors and committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and make toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas meet, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast, remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they should, which could swim, should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. You know, what would have happened if that centurion didn't understand and didn't know that God had that guy there for a reason? He'd already seen that they hadn't been obedient to what he had told them. It wasn't revealed by man, it was revealed by God. And I'm sure that he understood that. And so, it's going to be okay. We often have shipwrecks in our lives. I sometimes think I have them every day. But God's purpose was to allow this to happen. Now, I'm not sure, I don't know about some of you, but I know that not sure. I think I'd like to go on a boat trip with Paul. And this guy said he knew God. It's all about being in a crisis that God has engineered, that we can show forth who God is. I want to go to Luke. It's another boat trip. 8th chapter. Verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the wind and the water, and they do obey him. Wasn't quite the way that Paul had it. You see, Christ wanted to show his disciples that it was the power that he had that he could give them. But he wanted to show Paul something else. And you know, when I look back and I think of Paul's conversion, when you go to the ninth chapter, where Paul is blinded on the way to Damascus. And I'm going to start in the 11th verse. And to him they had regarded, because that of a long time he that bewitched them with sorcery. But when they... Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm sorry, I should be in 9th. Sorry about that. 10th verse. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Tell him exactly how it's going to happen. God is telling Ananias, this is how it's going to happen. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. I'm going to argue with you, but if you go back to that there, he says, I'm not sending someone else. I'm sending you. I want you to understand that I've already given him this vision, and it's going to happen the way that I said it's going to happen. The exactness of God. So if I had walked in there and I said, well, Paul, I've come to administer to you. You see, God prepares us, and or should prepare us, for the words that we say. And so if I had walked in there, I'm here to administer to you. Say, no, there's a guy coming by the name of Ananias. That's who's coming. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Wasn't about Paul. When we take upon us the name of Christ, are we willing to submit ourselves to that? You know, when I was first called into the ministry, I was given a dream who was going to ordain me. And it was so exact. And I'm not trying to validate my ministry by any means. But I want you to understand that God wanted me to understand that it was Him that had given me that. Now, sometimes when we look back, you know, we say, well, called me into the ministry, so That means that what I'm doing is absolutely right. That's not necessarily true. It was in a different church. But a man in that church had told me that there was another calling for me also. That happened in this church. But yet he's seen it. All it does is it builds on what he is already building for you. The foundation. We like to take that as that's the only way that it can be. Not always that way. You see, God wants us to grow spiritually. And being told, and I'm sure Ananias told him, that he must suffer many things for the Lord's name's sake. So are you ready for that boat trip? You have that spiritual strength? You see, because when you get to the 28th chapter, like we were reading about that end of that boat trip right there, that part. Let's see. Wasn't all done. Let's go to that 28th chapter, and it says this, and I'm just going to read the first 6 verses. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Malta. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul was gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hands. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. For he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god." Do we understand that where we start, just like these barbarians, as the scriptures put it, they had a concept of who God was. And I sometimes think that we're not much different. We have a small concept of who he is. We're looking for the blessings. Well, this guy, obviously, there's something a little different about this guy. And what it did is it gave him an opportunity to be able to minister unto them. Because it defied what they knew to be true. That when you got bit by this thing, it wasn't going to be good for you. But obviously, it wasn't. And so we see how he was able to witness to these people about the goodness of God through that. You know, all of us want a blessing. Because what it does is it tells us that we're on the right track. If God is pouring out his blessings upon us and everything's just great, we think that we're doing the right thing. But it's submitting to the will of God. When those difficult things happen. On that journey with Paul. Those are the true changes. You see, I truly believe that until we get to that point where we can truly turn our lives over to Him, we don't understand what those spiritual gifts are, because He's not going to pour them out upon us. Can you imagine going back to that power of God? To understand what someone needs. And I look back and it wasn't for what happened to that person. It was what happened to that person that was close to that person. The changes in their life through the loss of that person. To make them question. And so is the desire for us to live forever in this life? Absolutely not. It is for us to help other people along their way, to prepare, just like these barbarians, to prepare them to receive the things of God. That's all we do. We fight and argue about things because we just can't explain them to people. And we discussed that in our Sunday school this morning. Even of the same faith, that we see things so differently. But yet if we ask God, what is it that He wants us to understand? How does He want us to look at things? I find that even the people that He puts in my path, and I use an example. I have a friend who I go to a Bible study every Thursday morning. It's a men's Bible study. The one that is in charge of it is an attorney, and I think they're kind of Baptist. But over the years, and I've been going for several years, and finally get to the point where they see things a little differently. And it's not about winning the argument. It's not about being hurt by some of the things that they say. It's about presenting what the Word says. It's about that relationship with Christ. And I find myself, who I was is not who I am anymore. I like to win the arguments, but it's not so much that anymore. And I find that now, in looking back, you know, in a small way, you make a difference. Paul had made great differences in who he talked to. Because he presented the gospel. He wasn't offended because they didn't believe just like him. I want you to go to James, the 6th chapter. I'm going to run out of time. Fourth chapter, I'm sorry. 7th and the 8th verse. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. If there was anything that I needed to do, it was that. Draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts. If I was humble, had enough faith, right? What would I need that for? Because we're always looking at, what is it that I can do to have that power of God? He's the one that gives it to us. So how do you submit to the will of God if you don't know what it is? You see, it's a spiritual awakening. And it's asking, what will I do to know who God is? Paul understood very well, and I'm going to use one scripture at the end here, and I've used it many times, and that is Philippians, last chapter, which is fourth chapter. Eleventh verse. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. There are many attitudes that we have to have. Humility, obedience, all those things are very important. And they are very important because they tell us how our relationship is with our God. Can you imagine having that Spirit poured out on you, that you knew His will? Is that more important than anything else? Paul understood what it was. Yet he was in shipwrecks. Yet he was bit by a viper. Yet he was beaten. All those things. And yet, that's what it is. I want to thank you for your time. I hope that you received something out of this message. And I pray that the Lord, our God, will watch over you throughout this week. And that we don't end up in any shipwrecks. Thank you very much.